by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Let's turn on. Amen. Lord bless you this night. Amen. Before we go any further, we have a serious need. Brother Frazier is Brother Ron Spencer's father-in-law, and they just told him today that he might have 2 more days to live. And so Brother Ron said he's planning to be here for the services tomorrow night and Friday night, depending on the situation of his father-in-law, because they only give him 2 days to live. So let's pray for our brother. I was able to go there on Monday to visit with him, pray with him. He knew who I was, but he couldn't talk very good. He couldn't, in fact, I never could understand anything he said. But God knows. So let's just have a word of prayer for Brother Frazier, that as God's timing will, He'll either take him or He'll heal him. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that we can put our trust in You for what we ask for. Lord, You will do it. And Lord, as Brother Frazier has been a soldier in this battle for a long time, he's pastored a group of people. He stayed firm in the Word. Lord, the enemy has attacked him different ways. Lord, we ask tonight Your perfect will in his life. If it's his time, Lord, let him go peaceably. Lord, if it's not his time, raise him back up. Let the miracles still continue on in his life. Bless Brother Ron and the family and all that are involved in this, Lord. It's hard to lose a loved one that's been so faithful. But Lord, we understand. May You come along the side of them tonight. Bring them that peace that passes all understanding through Christ Jesus and meet their needs, we pray. Help us tonight in this service to worship You, to glorify You in all things. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord bless you this evening. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to St. Luke chapter 17. St. Luke chapter 17. And as you're turning, there's a brother coming from South Africa. He's a pastor. And he's coming into Dulles Airport on September the 1st at 2:15, he and his wife. And they want to know if we could get him from there to the National Harbor. They're going to be there a couple of nights, and then on Saturday morning, the 3rd of September, they need to ride back to the airport to go home. So they won't be here for fellowship other than they're flying into this area in transition. So if there's anybody that could assist me, because I'll be out of town that day or that couple of days, and if there's somebody that could assist me, this is a pastor from South Africa. He's a friend of Brother Brian Naidu. I get the right name, I think. So you pray about that, and if the Lord will help you to be a help to the brother. It's 2:15 in the afternoon on a Thursday and a Saturday morning at about 9:30, I think it is. So, all right. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. We thank the Lord for His many blessings, for all that He's done for us. And I want to read here in Luke chapter 17. And my topic tonight, I want to speak about paradox of forgiveness.
Amen.
And let's just read from St. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, and we'll read just a few verses there. It said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day," that's too many. That ain't what the Bible said. "And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him."
Amen.
And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith.
Amen.
You know why? You let somebody try you 7 times in a day and see where you get. Let them just try you a couple times in a day and see where you get. You with me?
Amen.
So it'll be a paradox. And the Lord said, If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. One more place in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 12, I want to start there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Forgiveness is a very delicate situation sometimes. And forgiveness can give you release, and unforgiveness can give you problems. And we see that the enemy makes sure that he causes us a problem in every way that he can. Anybody had any trouble with the devil lately? I'd have to raise both hands. The guy points his targets all the time at God's believers. He doesn't care if you're a pastor, a deacon, a preacher, a lay member. As long as you say you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's at you. He wants to get a hold of you. He wants to make you look like you're not a Christian. But my Bible, my God, he says that we are more than able. We're overcomers tonight by the power of Jesus Christ. But it comes through and by forgiveness. Yes. And so we look at the situations and how that God has done so much forgiveness to all of us. Yes. And I don't plan to preach long because we got two more services coming right behind this one. But not to fail to say what God wants us to say. Amen. And as I've heard the different ministers preaching and what a blessing they've been to us thus far, there's a few more coming. Amen. And we know that God has been speaking to us through the different ministry. Amen. And so I was looking at the situation and thinking about forgiveness and unforgiveness and all the different things that happen. And so I wanted to read a few things that Brother Branham spoke to us about, and a couple different messages I want to refer to, because in the messages that we have, the Lord has allowed Brother Branham to lay out situations and circumstances that can help us in our day. So that we won't have to journey in the same direction as these people already did. If we would take what he's already said and apply that, the devil's going to have a hard time with us. We should be taking every aspect of the message that God's given to us and applying it to our heart and our life every day. Because in this message lays the rapturing faith. That rapturing faith comes through and by the word for the day that we're living in. So as we're looking at the situation and all that God's given to us, and he comes along here in the scripture and he says that all these things were created by him and for him. So what am I looking at tonight? The creation of God. Amen. You are created for him and by him. Amen. So when the devil comes along knocking at your door, say, wait a minute, I'm God's creation. Amen. I know you were created for evil, but I was created for good. I was created for the glory of God. You was created for the fall. Amen. You've got to know where you are standing and why you was even created to be in this building tonight. Amen. Because the power of Almighty God. Listen, I'm not here to pull trick questions or throw you into a different place. I'm here to tell you that God has done something so powerful. and so different in our lives that the devil just don't know what to do with us sometimes, so he just tries to attack us in every way he can. I wanted to just make a few mentions here of some things, because unforgiveness causes sickness and blocks healing. Did you know that? Yes. Unforgiveness can cause all kinds of problems in your life. Now, I wanted to read an instance where Brother Branham's talking about here in the message, paradox. That's why I called it paradox of forgiveness. Because when it's a paradox, it's something that's so different than what the world's used to. Brother Branham makes his comment in the paradox in 1963. He says, for instance, I believe that every born-again member of the body of Christ is a paradox in themselves. Amen. You're a character. You are something so different from the world. We are in such a condition because we don't live just in this world. We live in two different worlds, if you don't mind me saying it that way. I'm not trying to start a new doctrine, okay? But we stand in the natural life, but we also stand in the supernatural. Amen. Because our God that we serve does things in supernatural form. So if God does it in supernatural form, the things that are unseen, we realize that's God moving in and taking a hold and causing things to happen that the world never sees. Amen. So we live in two different aspects of our life. So we live in the natural life, but we live in a spiritual life. You with me? Amen. So in the spiritual life, this supernatural comes into our lives. He brings revelation of the word, and the devil doesn't know how to handle that, so he attacks on the natural most of the time. Trying to get to the spiritual man. The spiritual man that's born again, the devil cannot cause you to fall. Because you're sealed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost is on top of you, around you, and in you, the devil don't know what to do with you. This is something that God has created for him. You sit here tonight. Amen. By him, you sit here tonight. Amen. The enemy has to be subject to. He can't even give you sickness unless he gets permission from God. Amen. So he comes along and the Lord's moving here. He said, to be born again, members of the body of Christ is a paradox in themselves. He said, I believe each one of you Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans that never had an experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was in some formal church and did not believe in the genuine new birth and has now received the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a perfect example of a paradox. Because something happened to you that changed your whole being, and anyone could look at that and know that a paradox is a miracle. Amen. Brother Branham says a paradox is a miracle. So I'm looking at a bunch of miracles tonight. You could not get saved except you believe that God called you. When you believe that God called you, you believe that the power of God overtook you and you changed. He said, unless that happens, you cannot be a Christian. There must be a paradox for you to become a Christian. He said, because no one can change a spirit in a man and give him a new birth outside of God. Your mom and daddy can't do it. Your grandpa and your grandma can't do it. You can't even do it yourself. You've got to depend on Almighty God. And when you accept His Word, that's what gives you that new birth. That's what gives you the Holy Ghost, is to accept God. He said, because no one can change the spirit in a man and give him a new birth outside of God. God alone is the one can do it. And it's a miracle how that God can take a man's thinking and his ways and his life and everything and change it from what he was to what he can be, what he can make it. It would be called the power of transformation. Amen. It would be called a God coming in and transforming you from the inside out. Amen. There's a lot of people transforming the outside, but they never got to the inside. So when God comes to the inside, you can watch them change on the outside. Because when they change on the outside, the appearance is different. The behavior is different. The way they do things is different because they realize that God is now living and residing inside of them. And it's not just make them do it, but it's God by the Holy Ghost. They desire to do it. Amen. The Holy Ghost causes you to live holy unto the Lord. Amen. He said, for instance, a few days ago, I was called in on a scene of a little something going on. There was a fine young man, and you all know this story, but so for some new ones who may not have heard it, we'll just say it tonight, okay? Amen. Those of you that already know the story, let's see what the outcome happens. He said, there was a fine young man, very fine boy. We got some very fine young men in this church. We got some very fine boys in this church. We got some very fine girls in this church. Very good. That's not good enough. I want you to listen to all the things that this boy did. He said he was going with a little girl, very fine little girl. I'm just repeating Brother Branham. Very fine. How many of you feel like you're very fine? How about some of y'all folks? Do you feel very fine? This is Brother Branham's terminology. Very fine people. Very good at going to church. He comes along, he says, very fine young girl, out of a fine family. And this boy all of a sudden came up with some kind of an idea, and he just walked away. He did something wrong to the little girl. And I want y'all to understand something. Brother Branham called 17 and 18-year-olds little boys and little girls. I hope that don't offend you. But he realized you're just beginning to learn about life. You hit around 15 and you think you already know. You don't. Just a little inside help. Okay, guys, that good, Danny? How about you, Paul? That good? How about Joel? Right? So you guys know you don't know it all right yet. Now, I got these guys. These are fine young men. I got some fine young men back there in the back. I would say about now that these guys are about 3-4 years older than these guys. So they think they got a little bit better. You know, they're more savvy about what they're going to do with their internet and how they drive. And you know, these guys are in driving mode now. They're fine young men. I'm not picking on you guys, but I just want you to pay attention that these fine young men without the Holy Ghost is a target for the devil. Amen. Remember, this week is youth meeting week. Amen. So I thought maybe I should just start it off talking to the youth a little bit tonight. Amen. So they come along, we got all these fine young people, the fine families and all these things, and this boy did something and walked away, and he much as promised her to do a certain thing, and then he didn't do it. Listen, if you make a promise, you got to stand good for your promise, or you got to tell why you didn't do it. Okay? Amen. I want the young people to pay attention to me. If you make a promise to somebody, you can't just ignore it. You've got to fulfill it or say why you can't fulfill it. Amen. Right? Yes, sir. He said, as much promised her to do a certain thing, and he didn't do it. And instead of coming to the girl and apologizing, a gentleman should do, like a gentleman should do, it just wasn't in him to do it. Fine young man. But he just couldn't apologize. There was something in him. Watch the character of this boy and all that he did as a fine young man. And the father and mother called me to the scene and said, we would desire to know what is wrong with our boy. Fine young man. Maybe I should have titled this Fine Young People. You come to church. From babies, you come to church. You hear the message. You hear the word. And you're just fine young people. But you need forgiveness. You need God. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. Because you can't get your Holy Ghost from daddy and mama. You gotta have the Holy Ghost from God. Because as fine young people, you can do everything mom and daddy tells you. You can dress right. You can look like. But if you don't get the Holy Ghost, your fine young man will be caught into sin. You'll slip so easy. He said, now it's not easy to do sometime, but you must be truthful and honest. It's not easy to do. Listen to this. It's not easy to do sometimes, but you've got to be truthful and honest. Amen. Young people, it means something. People learn you by the way that you respond, how you talk to people, how you behave around people. And when you tell them something, you need to fulfill what you say. You say, but I didn't make a promise. But if you say something, you need to learn to fulfill that. How about the young people? Can you say amen? Thank you. I'm trying to keep them with me tonight. He said, it's not easy to do sometime, but you must be truthful and honest. Therefore, the boy was a Christian as far as a believer. He had repented and had been baptized and had his position among the believers. But yet he had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No matter how much he thought he had. I'm reading direct what he's saying tonight because a lot of people are stuck in that position even now. They think, well, I'm good. I do what mom and daddy says. I do what the teacher says. I do what my people on the job tells me to do. Most anybody can do that. But you got to be more than just a fine young person. You got to be more than just a fine family person. Something's got to transform you. And God's trying to work inside of your life, friend. And he comes along and he says, you know, he said, as far as a believer, he looked like a believer. He went to church like a believer. Does that make you a believer? Nobody has all the attributes of a believer. And he comes along and he said, it's a hard thing to do to stay truthful and honest. He said, no matter how much he thought he had, he said, you thinking you have and having it is two different things. Yes. Thinking you got the Holy Ghost and knowing you got the Holy Ghost is two different things. You really need to know that. He said, you might be able to try to say you have, and you might be able to show some evidence of some emotion. But unless your life is vindicating what you're professing to have, you still haven't got it. You know why? It's an everyday behavior. Amen. Every day you go to school, every day you go to work, young people, it's an everyday behavior. You live a Christian life every day. He said, no matter how many emotions, how much you jump, run, and sensation, speaking in tongues or shouting, or what you might lay it upon, which is all right. He said, I believe in that too. But unless your life copes with your testimony, then you haven't got it. Because the fruit of the Spirit vindicates what you are, just like the fruit of the tree tells what it is. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. Now this young fellow's parents, y'all know what she was? You know what his mama was? Where'd your mom come from? Her mom, that's a good answer too. Where do they live? In a house. What country? Africa. Nigeria. This young man's mother was from a German background. We got all kinds of backgrounds here tonight. Brother Branham says this has something to do with your nature. This German background, he said, now, he said this young fellow's parents, his mother is a German. No reflections on the German. But there's a strain in that family. And that is they'll just sit and you can talk to them and they'll just stare right in the face. How would you like to talk to somebody and they just look at you? No answer. How about if I talk to Joel? Don't answer me, Joel. Joel can't help but smile. How are you today, Joel? He don't answer. How's the weather today, Joel? He don't answer. He looks at you like, why don't you leave me alone? Brother Branham says that this woman got a sister. And he said he was walking down the street and he spoke to her and she just looked at him. Fine day, isn't it? She just looked at him. Why don't y'all come over to the church sometime? She just looked at him, never answered. Can you imagine? They said that's a German background. Now, I don't know that all Germans are that way. I can't say that. I said it's like saying all Americans are this way, all Africans are this way, and all. You can't do that. He comes along, he said it's a German background. He said, and they just sit and stare at you. Talked about the mother's sister, and I just told you about that. He said, well, brothers. He said, well, her brothers are that way. Father and mother's that way. He said, now the father of the boy is strictly an Irishman. So now you got an Irishman married to a German. He said, moody. An Irishman's moody and high-tempered, high-strung. That's his whole family like that. Except one other out of the family converted. He said, this father and mother, both are Christians, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they have brought this young man up in the way of the Lord. German and Irish background in their family. Brother Marcel, where are you from?
West Africa.
West Africa. And your wife's from Haiti. Well, now you got a Haitian influence and a Western African influence. I hope you don't mind. Then you get a couple, and sometimes you get an African influence and you get an American influence. You see what I'm saying? So he's got a German influence and he's got an Irish influence. It's got something to do with you. In your natural way of living, it has something to do with you. And you say, but Brother Mike, I was born in America. But your mama was born in Haiti. Your daddy was born in West Africa. It's got something to do. They got some fine young people here. But that character, that nature, you can trace it all back to the grandparents, and it will have some influence from the grandparents to their life. He said, father, mother, both Holy Ghost filled Christians. He said, now the young man is about 17 or 18 years old. Something along there. Very fine kid. 17 or 18, very fine kid. You call an 18-year-old day a very fine kid, he'd probably say, I'm a man. Because in America, we allow 18-year-olds to be men. By laws. But you might want to listen to this a little bit, because at the age of 18, you're still trying to figure out the adult side and the teenage side. Now it's getting so bad that when you get into your 20s and 30s, they still think they're teenagers. That's just how it is, friends. And so he comes along, he says, he's a nice kid, very fine kid. And he's been a real model boy at home. Nice kid. And he's got a brother that's just vice versa. That means he's not a very fine kid. It means he's not a very fine boy at home. I had some of them. I could speak to one. Okay, Dad. Speak to the other one. He'd say, okay, Dad, and never do a thing I said. They'll tell you okay just to get you off their back. Yeah. And never do a thing that you tell them. Yeah. They will just ignore you as though you had never said it. But they say okay just to please you. Maybe I should preach about the prodigal son. So they come along. He said, and he comes along and says, this father and mother, they're very fine Holy Ghost feel people. He said, but the girl's mother's family, fine church. But do you think they'd ever come over there? No. And they know it's right, but it's just not in them to ask forgiveness or ask pardoning. In the natural sense, if you don't have the Holy Ghost and your background is that way, it's not in you to even ask forgiveness. We're staying with the natural for a minute now. But when the spiritual comes in, I don't care if you come from straight from hell If God called you into this holy life, you'll get forgiveness. Your home can be ripped apart, but the Holy Ghost of God can give you power to overcome. He said, they just won't do it. It's just not in them. He said, now the genes in the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they're converted, no matter how much the father and mother's converted, still remains the flesh that's been interbred out to this boy. So the sinful nature of German and Irish living in the boy cannot give him a new birth. It gave him a natural birth, and he acts like his father and his mother's people because that's the line he came through. My father, in his family, his father was a drunk. My father, at the age of 18 and 19, was drinking, and he would fight and do all kinds of stuff. It was just in the nature. Thank God I never got that part of his gene. One time as a little boy, about 6 or 7 years old, I had an uncle that came to our house and he flipped a cigarette butt out into the yard. Curious kid, went over, picked it up. I saw him do this. Picked it up. That's the only puff I ever had. It was enough. I hated cigarettes from that point on. Thank God, he protected me. It was all the way down to the butt, so I don't know what it tasted like. It was ash. I never drank in my life. God protected me from that. There's some people that they live on drink. They live on cigarettes. They live on these things. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he takes that out. Amen. Only God can do those things. Only God can give you that converted life. He said, it still remains in the flesh, interbred out to this boy. Therefore, the boy has got a complex in him, just like from his mother's family, and they're not forgiving. They will not apologize, and that's where that boy stands. Comes along, he said, now I said to the father, no matter how much you raised him up, I said, now look at you, out of your family, all of them drunks and fighting. I sound like my dad's family. And shooting and cutting and so forth. He said, now look at your family, to the mother. They're a bunch of people just sit there and won't speak, very independent and so forth, irreverent to religion. They didn't like religion. But I said, it's not you. You're the only one of all your sisters and brothers, and you are sweet, kind, forgiving. What does that? You are, and you're part of that family tree, yet you have received the Holy Ghost. That's the thing that made you tender and sweet. It's not your people anymore. It's your Christ that lives in you. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care how bad your family is. If God called you, you break the chain. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When you break that chain, the devil does not know what to do from there on. Amen. The Holy Ghost of God gives you power to overcome every drinking, every lying, every lustful spirit. God gives you the power to break the chain. Amen. Fine young people, get the Holy Ghost and God will take pornography out of your life. He'll take lust out of your life. He'll take drinking out of your life. He'll take all kinds of things out of your life. It will give you power to overcome who you are in the flesh. The paradox will take over, and when the flesh rises up, there's enough Spirit of God that says, no, I can't do that any longer. I belong to Jesus. You've got to come that way, friend. We can't give it to you. Oh, if I could have given it to my kids, I'd have given it to them a long time ago. But they got to find out for themselves. I can bring them up. They're fine young people, but they got to meet Jesus Christ. He said, they're very independent, irreverent. He said, you're part of the tree, but you come out and you got the Holy Ghost. That's the thing that made you tender and sweet. He said, Christ lives in you. I said to the boy, here he is. He's talking to the parents. He's going back in their life. Finds out they're German. They're Irish. Tells the boy, you got a problem. You ever looked at your children and say, you got a problem? My son Joe told me one time, he said, Dad, you can't make me be a Christian. I looked at him right straight across the table. I said, that's exactly right. I said, but as long as you live in my house, you'll follow my Christian rules. Amen. I said, if you don't want to follow my Christian rules, that's the door. And one day, guess what? He had to go out the door. I'm going to tell you something. Parents have legal right to walk into your bedroom because it belongs to them. They have legal right to go in your closet. They have legal right to open up your laptop. Wait a minute, Brother Mike. This is getting personal. Yes, sir. They have rights. I found out legally by the police, it's my house. Not only do I have backing from the word, I got backing from the law. So if you parents get in trouble with some of your kids, just call me. I've learned a few things. They don't own the house. And if you think they do, just take the bedroom door off. You can do that. You're allowed. It's your door. You can take the laptop. You can take all the radios and whatever you got in the house and put it somewhere else if you want. They don't like your laws. They can leave. Let me tell you something, young people. You say, all I want is my freedom. Wait until you get out of the house. And when you get out of the house, you're going to find out you don't have freedom then either. Because you got to live somewhere and pay somebody rent. You got to go somewhere and buy your groceries. You got to go somewhere and wash your clothes. So you ought to be thankful that your mama and your daddy's providing a house to live in and food to eat and a place to wash your clothes. Because, brother, when you move out, you got to do it yourself. Amen. Ask Ben. He's married now. He didn't know life could be so expensive. He pays his own house payment. I don't pay his payment. He pays his own car payment. He buys his own ice cream if he wants it. When he's at my house, he can just walk over to the fridge. He don't even say, thank you, Dad. He just gets it out. He eats it up. He can get anything he wants out of the freezer. He can just do most anything he wants in my house, as long as he's not abusive. But when they move out, they realize, ooh, man, I had it made. Things were good at home. Now he worries about that gasoline that he has to put in his vehicle. He thinks about the insurance that he's got to now pay. Hey, I tried to help my kids along, but after a while, you got to give them a little push. They got to grow up. They got to learn that life is not free. I think a lot of you folks that you heard coming from Africa and different places that there was a lot of money in the U.S. There is if you work for it. Did any of y'all ever hear that it was on the streets? I see a few heads going yes. Did you find any when you got here? Don't blame me. I was born here. God born us where he wanted us to come and God moved us where he wanted us to move. So friends, you ought to thank God every day of your life for all these things. That's way off my subject. Forgiveness can cause you blessings and unforgiveness can cause you problems. I'll try to hurry it through. I'm getting past my time now. He said, I began to talk to that boy. He said, I said to the boy, look at your family. Practically all of them are drunks and so forth. I said, and how moody and high-tempered and high-strung, but you're not. He's talking about the Father now. You're kind, forgiving. What is it? The Holy Spirit. You're no more what you are. It's Christ in you. I said, now that same thing has to happen to your son. I can take a nice young man. Brother Random talks about how that you can take a little cat. You can run that cat. How many's ever rubbed a cat? Come on, how many's ever rubbed a cat? You rub the cat the right way with his fur and all that, he's fine, right? Why don't you start stroking him the other way? Start pushing the hair. He'll leave you. And you know what? There's people that are fine people in the church. Uh-huh. All right, young people, I'm getting to the fine people in the church, okay? You with me? Sometimes there's fine people in the church, and when you rub them the wrong way, you find out if they really got the Holy Ghost or not. They'll blow a cork so fast, you won't know what happened. He said, Brother Ram said he had a temper that would fight a buzzsaw. He said he had a temper so bad that if a woman would have slapped him, he would have slapped her back when he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He said he had high respect for a woman. But and he comes along, and he said there was a woman called him a kinky-headed. He said he knew he had the Holy Ghost then because he didn't try to slap her. He didn't try to fuss with her, nothing. He just took it. Fine, young people here. Let somebody rub you the wrong way and we'll see how fine you are. Do it to adults. It happens. Get somebody under stress, under strain. But a real Holy Ghost person will say, I was caught. Please forgive me. Why? Forgiveness sets them free. God can do that for every person. The Father raised up and said, and I could have that happen here. He said, the Father raised up and said, my son went to the altar. He was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ and water baptized in the pool. Said, I know my son come to Christ. This is very, very delicate right here. I said, that may be all right. All the outward motions. He might be identified as a believer with the believers. Hear me now. But until he is regenerated, born again, I advise that young man to never marry a woman. He'll make hell on earth for her until that gentle, sweet, forgiving Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ comes in. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I advise you don't get married. Because getting married does not give you the Holy Ghost. Getting married tries the Holy Ghost. Don't believe me. Ask these married couples. You think you know somebody? Oh, they look so sweet and so pretty, or he looks so handsome, and you think, oh, he's just the guy for me. Rub him the wrong way a few times and see how he responds. It'd be nice if you could sit in his house and when his mom and dad corrects him, and if he slams something through the floor, don't worry, he'll slam something when you're around. Because you can't live together but for so long until you find out who they really are. You'll find out. So just don't overstep your bounds. You need forgiveness. He comes along. He said, that boy, he said he needs the Holy Ghost, forgiving Spirit of Christ in him. Then what will be, that will be a paradox in itself. To take that very nature of a boy that's bred between father and mother, and yet in his intellectuals, he is trying his best to overcome it. He can't do it. You know you're not supposed to do certain things, but there's a lack of desire in there, and it's like, oh, I just can't keep from doing that. You know, it's like me saying, I'll never eat another piece of chocolate. And then somebody says, Brother Mike, I got this piece of chocolate I want to give you. Not knowing that I said, I'll never eat another piece of chocolate. Oh, what a temptation that's going to be. That's just a mild thing compared to what you could get yourself in trouble about. He comes along just a little bit more. Just give me a little more time. Notice I didn't say give me 5 more minutes. Because I don't want to become a lying preacher. A brother in North Carolina was talking, and he said, you know, sometimes preachers are liars in the pulpit. And I thought, I've done that. He said, they'll say, give me 5 more minutes and preach 10 more minutes. He said, then they'll say, give me 10 more minutes and preach another 15 minutes. He goes, they're lying to the people. He said, just tell them, give me some more time. That's all. So just give me a little more time, okay? Depends on what your little is and what my little is. Little as much when God is in it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's scriptural, isn't it? Little as much when God is in it. God can deal with your heart. I haven't even been preaching 45 minutes yet, I don't think. But I'm not going to keep you. I promise, not too long. He comes along and he's talking to this young man. He said, comes down through there. He said, then that will be a paradox in itself to take the very nature of that boy that's bred between father and mother. And yet in his intellectual, he is trying his best to overcome it. He can't do it. He'll never overcome it. Christ will have to overcome it. When he lets Christ in, then he's already overcome then. It'll be a perfect paradox when a man is born of the Spirit of God. That's just what he was telling us about Peter. Peter knew that he believed in Christ. He worshiped him. He said, but Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Because he knew within himself, he tried to serve God. He tried to protect Jesus Christ. He pulled out his sword. He was willing to fight, but that's not how God wanted him to fight. He said, when thou art converted, what? The power of God comes into you. You change the way you fight. You change the way you live. You change the way you behave yourself. Because the Holy Ghost causes you to fight it in a different way. Amen. Comes along, he says, now I wonder if a man thinks that miracles is past. I wonder what kind of a scientific medicine you could give such a person to change that disposition in them. To take that hatred and malice and strife out. There is no one can explain it, but it's a paradox because it's a miracle of God. When a man is changed from the person that he is to a new creature in Christ Jesus, he becomes a new creation. He is no more what he used to be. He is absolutely a new creation in Christ. Let me just skip through here real quick. In the message, the rapture, he comes along and he says, we can forgive but not forget. He said, I can forgive you, but I always remember you done these evil things. That's the nature of the human being. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just trying to help you out a little bit. I know it's hot. For some reason, it's really hot in here. He said, I can forgive you, but I always remember you done these evil things. You know what? This is where the devil tries to get to. You forgive somebody, but he keeps reminding you that they did it. You understand? You forgive, but a lot of times you, and somewhere down the road when you get a little bit weak, sometimes that thing will come back up and you'll say, wish they hadn't done that. But you're supposed to forgive them. So the enemy's always working on that. Remember, he says, we can forgive, but not forget. I could forgive you, but I always remember you done these evil things. Then you're forgiven. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place. Amen. Standing there, married to the virtuous Son of God, never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. She was trapped into this. And now when she heard the truth and come forth, the blood cleansed her. And she stands there virtuous. How many is virtuous tonight?
Amen.
Let me say this. I was looking over some things. Listen. We come into the situation of unforgiveness. And when you come into unforgiveness, it brings sickness in your life. Now, you may not realize this. But unforgiveness, you know, we won't forgive a person if they make a statement we don't like. Sometimes somebody will make a statement and you think, I don't agree with that. And you hold it in your heart against them. You never find out what they meant or why they're doing it. And you hold it against them. And you just start dwelling on that. And the devil uses your mind. He'll let you dwell on these things. But forgiveness brings deliverance. Forgiveness brings healing. Forgiveness brings cleansing. It sets you free. The devil doesn't want you to get forgiveness. I'm going to read a couple things to you here on an article that I got. This is where it's gotten to, friends. It's not just in the church, it's in the world now. It says unforgiveness is classified as a disease in the medical books. Now, some of the medical people here, Brother Neville may know this better than most because he works at NIH over there. And I just got this article that says unforgiveness is classified as a disease in the medical books. Forgiveness makes people sick and keeps them sick. Unforgiveness. If you got anything in your heart tonight, friends, that thing can eat you alive. You get something in your heart against a brother or against a sister, it can cause you problems. It comes along, it says, now there's forgiveness therapy for different diseases, such as cancer patients. There's forgiveness therapy. If you could just get them to the house of God. Yes. Friends, we need to know that forgiveness sets you free. Amen. But now the world is using forgiveness therapy for different diseases such as cancer patients. It's important to treat emotional wounds and disorders because they can hinder someone's reactions to the treatment. You imagine that? This is where the world's gotten to. That now the world's saying that unforgiveness is a disease and it hinders you from getting health. This is from the science world. I just felt like I ought to bring this because they're even talking about the unforgiveness now. He said, of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiveness issues. More than half of them are severe. You imagine? Cancer is eating people up because they won't forgive. Unforgiveness is in them. Unforgiveness is a movement in your emotion that's working on people. But we got something called the Holy Ghost that sets you free. They're giving people therapy. If we could just get them to Christ, that would change them. Amen. If we could get them to the power of Jesus Christ, it would mold them in such a different way. It says of all the cancer patients, 61%, more than half have unforgiveness problems. They start searching into people's lives and what are you holding against somebody? How about you, friend? What are you holding against somebody? Brother Branham told us that near the end that the world will be going insane. These institutions are so full, people can't even get in. And some of them, because they don't get in, they end up taking their life and other people's too. But when people can forgive from the heart, they find a sense of peacefulness or lightness. But you got to forgive from the heart. What does the Bible say? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there's people who are wounded in their lives, sitting in the church. They're wounded because something somebody said, something somebody did. They're wounded emotionally, and they're bound inside the church because they won't let go. They have unforgiveness. But the Bible says you need to forgive.
Amen.
How we need to forgive one another. It causes anger. Forgiveness causes anger. And anxiety. Unforgiveness is causing people to have an angry spirit. Unforgiveness is causing people to have anxiety in their life. When pressure gets on them because of the unforgiveness, they start shaking, they start falling apart, and they have to run to the hospital. But I tell you, if they ever get to the Lord Jesus Christ, He can cause them to have a power that would let them be set free by the Holy Ghost of God, and God will cleanse your heart, friend. You need a cleansing of the Holy Spirit of God. Musicians, get ready to come. There was a young lady one time. I've got the quotes here, but I'm not going to read them. Brother Branham talks about this young lady and how that she had went off to college. And when she got back, she was riding on the train. And when she got back, she had one of her friends with her. And her mother was standing outside of the window. How many knows this story? And the mother's standing outside on the platform where the train comes in. And she brings back her friend. Of course, she's went off for a couple of years and she's got educated and she's kind of got, you know, got a little air about her. You know, I've been in college and maybe I've got a PhD or whatever. And she's gotten something, you know, proud. And as I roll up to the train station, the girl that's with her says, "Who is that horrible looking person?" And the girl says, "I don't know." She disowns her. She disowns her own mother. And when they get on the platform, she runs. Brother Ram tells the story that she runs to hug her and says, she turns her back and says, "You've mistaken me for somebody else. I don't know you." And the train conductor knew the story of what happened to this woman and why she was so scarred, so just deformed. And said he grabbed her and he turned her around. And said, he began to tell the story. He says, "Let me tell you the story." He said, "You should be ashamed of yourself. When your mother, when you were before 6 months old, said the house caught on fire. And your mother was outside hanging up clothes. And the people started screaming about the house. And she didn't know it was on fire. And said she turned. And when she saw what was happening, she grabbed a wet sheet. She wrapped herself in the wet sheet and she ran inside. They were trying to stop her. They're saying, you can't pierce this heat. But she ran in, wrapped in this wet towel. And when she gets there, she realized she's got to protect the baby, so she wraps the baby in the wet towel. She runs back out, but the flames are burning her face. Brother Ram said it burnt her hair off. It burnt the fingers on her hands. It scarred her. Have you ever seen somebody that's been burnt really bad? It scars them in such a way. Don't never look down on them, people. And here she was. She was burnt to bent. Burned in such a condition, and she was in such a way, and this train conductor, he began to tell the story, and evidently several people were standing around, and he told the story. He said, "You should be ashamed, because she gave her beauty that you might have yours. She forfeited all that she had that you could have your life." Let me tell you something, friend. We should never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when you get to heaven, the only one that's going to have scars is the one that said, "I did this for you." You should be so thankful. You should never hang your head, because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. He'll be the ones with the nail prints in his hands. He'll be the one that has the hole in his side. Why should we be ashamed of Jesus Christ? Don't never bow your head and be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You should look up. Because when you get to the other side, he'll be the only one there that looks like that. You won't. Brother Bram said, "We'll be at the age of 21, 22 years old. Oh, how nice we'll look." He said, "Every hair on our head will be back." Oh, we should praise God for the glorious power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't be ashamed of my Lord Jesus. He bore the scars for you. He forfeited his life for you, and he took all of that to forgive you of your sins. We shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus. We shouldn't be afraid to bow our heads. When you receive that little snack, we ought to bow our head. "Thank you, Lord. You took my stripes. You took those scars." He'll be there waiting. One more little story. Musicians, come. Is there anybody that you got something in your heart against them? It's not worth. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when you got that bitterness in your heart, you're letting them control your emotion, because you won't forgive them. In essence, they're controlling your life. Somebody can speak a word and they start controlling your life because you let that thing begin to eat in your mind. Don't hold unforgiveness. Know in your heart that you serve a living Savior. Amen. who knows all about you. There was a little 4-year-old girl. It was her daddy's birthday. And 4-year-olds, you know, they're just learning. And she couldn't get everything just exactly right. And when she gave her daddy the card, she said, "Papa, don't see my mistakes." And the father looked at her and said, "I don't see your mistakes." And the little girl was just gleaming because she knew she did the best she could. What about you? Father, please don't see my mistakes. I'm doing the best I can. And our Heavenly Father says, "I've paid the price for you." Amen. When the devil comes trying to raise up a problem in your life, "Father, please don't see my mistakes." Can you ask God tonight to forgive you? "Father, don't see my mistakes. I'm doing the best I can. I'm just in this flesh. I'm doing the best I can." That father opened that card. What he saw was the desire to make him happy. Is that what my Father sees in you tonight? Your desire to make him happy? With all your mistakes, with all the things that you've done, "Father, please don't see my mistakes." And I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is our advocate. Amen. Jesus Christ the righteous. Would you just bow your head for a moment? Young people, Father wants to see you trying. And with your mistakes, he understands you're trying to do what's right. Amen. "Papa, please don't see my mistakes. I'm human. I have problems. But Lord, I'm trying my best. I'm doing the best I can." Lord Jesus, as that precious mother gave up her beauty that she could save her baby, that she might have beauty, she gave her life that that little girl could have life. Help us not to forget, Lord, that you suffered on a cross. When those arms were open wide, it was saying, "I did this for you. I did this for you, friend. My child, I love you this much." As he screamed in pain from the stripes, from the thorny crown, oh my, he opened those hands. They pierced his hands and his feet. They wounded his side. That was the grace of God reaching out to you. "Papa, don't see my mistakes. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me again, Lord. Let me try again, Lord. Let me make my way to the cross of Calvary again. Never stop coming to Jesus. Never get so proud that you can't say, 'I made a mistake, brother. I'm sorry.' Never get so high and lofty that you can't come down and say, 'Brother, I'm sorry. Sister, I'm sorry. Honey, I'm sorry. Dear, I'm sorry. My children, I'm sorry.' Oh God, please, Lord. Lord, will you somehow, in the humanness that we are, we sometimes try to make this flesh the perfect thing. We try to make it look a certain way, and that's okay. But what we need is that inner man to be yielded to you. Let that inner man come to the cross of Calvary. Lord Jesus, as we prepare to go into these next couple of services, may you speak to our hearts. May you prepare us, oh God, a ground, a bedding ground for the glory of God, changing us, moving us. Lord, as I see the glow in that little girl's face, Papa, don't see my mistake. And as he looked, she never sensed any bad thoughts, but she saw the smile of what Papa had to say. Lord, would you bless her? Help us, oh God, to see the smile on your face. That though we're trying and we're making mistakes, we see that the smile is on your face, that we're doing something to get close to you. Papa God, please help. Bless my young people, Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters, Lord. Let them see that I'm not here to try to make mistakes on purpose. Oh God, help us to walk faithful, to serve you. Touch them. Thank you. lives. And he made available to you his Spirit. Never forget that. That he made his Spirit available to every one of us. That we can be the overcomers living in the end of this age. May the Lord bless you. May you not forget where you came from and the light that he gave you. Never be ashamed to worship him. Always keep him before you and love him. May the Lord bless you tonight. Please pray for our young people. Pray for the services coming. That God will speak to their hearts. I pray a seed of God's planted in their heart. And as the word's coming forth, they will cultivate water and bring forth the life of Jesus Christ. Service starts tomorrow night. Song service at 7:30. Try to be there on time a little early if you can to pray and be ready to receive. As you're dismissed.